Now, notice Barnabas. We don't know a lot about him, but a fundamental statement regarding Barnabas is in Acts 11, that he was a good man, he was full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Us to make about a person. A good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Barnabas, his name was Joseph, by the way. That was his name, but the apostles called him, or the followers of Christ called him Barnabas. And we would probably call him Barney. I'm not going to go there with translation of Scripture. I'm just going to say we give people nicknames. There's a fellow in Murray named Slick. That's not his name. But he doesn't have any hair. And so he got the name. He calls himself Slick. He'll introduce himself as Slick. There are others who have different nicknames, and that's fine if you want to do it. But Barnabas is the name by which we know this man, though his name was Joseph. Notice, first of all, let's just skip the top part because we're going to cover some of those things anyway, and go to the part. The word in Acts chapter 4 is the son of exhortation by him, and that's what his name means, son of encouragement or exhortation. Without mentioning any names publicly, I guess anybody don't want to maybe humble. But in the Benton Church of Christ, there are some Barnabases. And the question is not necessarily who are they. The question is, are you one of them? And if you are, that's good. If you aren't, become a Barnabas. Challenge yourself to be an encourager. And that doesn't mean flattery. It doesn't mean anything insincere at all, but it does mean proper encouragement. We all need that, and that's something we all can do. Look for something that is affirming and positive and encouraging that can be said to someone or about someone, and notice how much it helps that individual's life. Several years ago, I really kept up with baseball back when I was young. I had the only Stan Musial baseball card in Paris, Tennessee. What I would give for that today, I lost it. I think I lost it. I think somebody borrowed it. But anyway, I'll try to get over that. But I kept up with who was doing what. And I was big into memorizing things like batting averages from last year and RBIs and all that stuff. I just did that. I was fascinated with it. Well, Jackie Robinson was the first black professional baseball player. And he really was subjected to a tremendous amount of abuse and scorn and cursing, jeering. And in Brooklyn, his home field, Ebbets Field, he was playing second base, and he made an error. Now, if you've ever played baseball and you haven't made an error, then you need to take a bath. It's going to happen. So the crowd jeered and cursed and just said all kinds of things in a very loud way against Jackie Robinson. Pee Wee Reese is playing right over here at shortstop. He walks over, puts his arm around Jackie Robinson, and looks at the crowd. And a hush falls over the crowd. Barnabas. Not necessarily the popular thing to do, but the right thing to do. Affirming somebody, showing the right kind of respect and appreciation for who they are and for what they do. They're made in the image of God. They're people for whom Jesus died. And somewhere along the way, that affirmation takes on special significance when it has spiritual overtones, and it always will some way. So Barnabas, he was an encourager. Now we meet him in Acts chapter 4, and here is a benevolent problem. They're needing money. Ever heard of a church that didn't need money? Of course we need money. We're trying to raise money for this and that. We're trying to raise money. That one of our elders made an announcement this morning about a new project that we'll have underway. He came by my office real early this morning, and he was going over some of his notes and just wanted to go over it with me, and I was glad to get to hear what he was going to say. But I just reached over in my desk drawer and got out a check and gave it to him, and I said, Marcia and I have already discussed this, and we prayed about it. We've decided that we want to contribute to it, but don't use our name and don't tell the amount, but just we want to be part of this. And he's standing there. He's our youngest elder. I know the word young and elder shouldn't be in the same sentence because elder means older. But he's Jim Thurman's grandson. And Jim Thurman was an elder when I came there in 1973. And he was my other daddy. I mean, we absolutely did everything together. Well, this is his grandson, David Ryan, who is now serving as an elder and is doing such a good job. And I tell him every once in a while how proud your grandpa would be of you, because of your faithfulness and your energy and your activity. But David's the one making the announcement this morning, and he's standing there just pouring tears out. Boy, you're going to look good in public today. Your makeup's running. But the point is, I wanted to encourage him, and we wanted to encourage that work. Now, we're going to take up money next week for disaster relief and some other things that we're going to be doing with Joplin and with some other places, especially going back to Alabama with some work crews and things. That's going to take money, too. We have the opportunity to give to that. We have the opportunity not always just with money, but to give time and energy and to actually sometimes go and do the work. We have a large group going to Guyana on a mission trip in June, and that'll be announced today as well. And there'll be different ones who'll be helping financially with that, and there'll be other things that people can do to help out with that. But the encouragement that Barnabas gave was he had a piece of land and he sold it and he brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And then distribution was made as the people had need. That's the first time we read about Barnabas. Now, you remember the context of Acts chapter 4. It's followed quickly by chapter 5, and that is Ananias and Sapphira. They're bringing some money. They had some land, they sold it, and they brought the money. And they kept part of it, but they indicated that they had given all of it. Their problem was not financial. Their problem was their heart. They lied to the Holy Spirit. Pretty serious business. And they were struck dead because of it. And fear gripped the Jerusalem church. It would grip the Glendale church, too, if that happened. And it would the Benton church. It would any. We can learn from that, and we should. Therefore, Barnabas was a generous man and an honest man, and he was up front about it, and he helped. And that's the first time we read about him in the Scriptures. And then we see him as he has the concern that was similar to that of the one we call the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10. He said the Good Samaritan did not have the attitude of the thieves who said, "What's yours is mine, and I'll take it. Steal it." He didn't have the attitude of the priest and Levite who didn't do anything but just walked right on by and said, "What's mine is mine and I'll keep it." But he had the attitude that says, "What's mine is yours and I'll share it." God has blessed us with this world's goods. Some are very wealthy by our standards and some are maybe not so wealthy, but all of us are wealthy by the world's standards. All of us. Everybody in this room is wealthy by the standards of the world. That shouldn't make us feel so guilty as it makes us feel a great sense of gratitude and therefore obligation to help out. Jesus had the attitude of the Good Samaritan who said, "What's mine is yours and I'll share it." It all belongs to the Lord. Right after the ice storm a few years ago, I went into one of the stores in Murray, and one of the ladies who works there told me she doesn't go to church anywhere, but I'm in there often. And I really appreciate her attitude. She's a diligent worker, and she tries real hard. And she just told me, she said, "Does your church help people when there's a need?" She said, "I am really struggling financially because I couldn't work for a week and a half." And she said, "I'm just paycheck to paycheck." And she said, "I have an electric bill that's due the next week," and she said, "I simply don't have the money." And she said, "Is there some way that your church could help?" She asked if she could borrow some money. I said, "Well, the banks loan money. We don't loan money. But let me find out I said, tell me how much you need. And she said, well, I've got enough to pay everything except $100. I thought, if $100 will help this lady who's working hard and trying diligently to do the right things, if that'll help her, then I'm going to see to it that she gets it. So I take the pay for my things, and I go back out to the car and hang them up. And I'm thinking, you've got a $100 bill in your billfold. You've got it turned down to give to somebody, not to spend it for yourself, but it's money. And so if you want to, you can go back in there and give it to her. And no fanfare at all. Her boss will never know. She probably would have gotten in trouble if he had known she asked. So I go back in there, and when she gets where she's not busy, I just motioned her to come over, and I gave it to her. And she said, oh, I didn't mean for you to. I said, well, actually, it's all the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And I said, it all belongs to him, and I get to manage part of it. And you manage part of it, and the church manages part of it, and we pool our things. So I said, as far as you're concerned, this came from the church. And she said, I can't believe you do that. I said, well, believe it. It's okay. And if it'll help you, that's great. She said, well, I plan to pay you back. And I said, I don't loan money. I'm glad for you to have it. I really want you to have it. And it's money that the Lord owns, and you manage it now because I've managed it for a little while. And you don't owe me anything. I'm thankful to be able to help you. And I appreciate and respect you for what you're trying to do. Well, it wasn't more than, oh, I don't know, that was 08 when that happened. And I'd say it was about a month after that. I'm back in there twice a week, every week. But she came up to me and she said, I listened to you on the radio. I said, well, I'm glad somebody's out there. I never know who's out there. And she said, I want to know more. I said, well, I would be delighted to spend time with you, and we'll arrange a time. My wife and I can come to your house, or whatever is good. We'll be glad to do it. We've had two Bible studies. Now, it's taken a long time. It's a long-term investment. But we've had two Bible studies, and she's interested. Now, did I buy this woman for $100? No. Is there anything in it that may at some point redound to the glory of God? Yes. Barnabas gave. I have opportunities to give, maybe little, maybe much, but give. Because Barnabas knew who owned that land to start with. It wasn't Barnabas, it's the Lord. He made it. It's his. We get to pass it around and manage it and be stewards of a portion of what he has entrusted to our care. And if we can reason that way, then we don't become so selfish and hoarding of the things. We use them and keep them in circulation. I've never been accused of hoarding. I have been accused of keeping things in circulation way too much. But keep it going and help somebody. Take care of yourself, of course. But at the same time, don't be stingy. Stingy people are miserable people. So let's be like Barnabas, concerned and giving. I love it in chapter 9 when we read where Saul has become a Christian, but nobody's real sure about that. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but has anybody ever obeyed the gospel in Marshall County, Kentucky, when you weren't sure they were sincere? You don't have to answer. Has that ever crossed your mind that they may be playing a game with you? I have to admit it has mine. One lady called me one day and she said, I've been studying the Bible and I want to be baptized. Will you do it? I said, well, I'd be just delighted to talk with you. And we got together and she said, Acts 2:38, Mark 16:16, she had it all. And I said, well, do you have any questions about anything? She said, no. She said, when can I do it? I said, well, keep reading, and you'll see in Acts 16 where it was the same hour of the night. Is there some reason why you can't do it now? She said, no, that'd be fine. I called my wife. This was about 4 in the afternoon, and everybody was going home from the offices. I called my wife, and I said, are you free where you can come over and help this lady get dressed? She said, yeah. She came over. The lady got dressed, baptized her, back, I'd never seen her at church. And it was different. It's certainly strange. Usually I will invest years and then not get there. And that's my story of my life. But here it was. She's walked in, and here it is. So she called me. I believe it was a month after that. She did come to church once, at least, that I saw her during that time. And I've tried to follow up with her some. She called me, and she said, take my name off the roll. She said, I'm sorry. I owe you an apology. I meant nothing by that. She said, I was looking for a job, and I heard in Murray that in order to get that job, you have to be a member of the Church of Christ. And she said, that's the reason I did that. And she said, I'm very sorry, and I'm leaving town, and I won't be back. And she said, you didn't do anything out of order. You tried to help me, and I'm the one who's the culprit here. And I said, well, is there anything we can capitalize on? I said, you're honest now. I like that. I appreciate you being upfront about it, admitting what you did. I said, that's a real good trait. Can we do anything to capitalize on anything good out of this? She said, no. She said, I'm not a believer, and I'm not going to be, and I'm really sorry. So she went on her way, and I went on my way. Well, what if I had said to her, well, let's wait, woman, this is a little fast. We usually go a lot slower than that. Are you trying to get a job? I wouldn't have dare said that. In a million years, I wouldn't have said that. The idea that I could have judged and therefore misjudged somebody in that situation would have haunted me the rest of my life. I would never want that to happen. But in this case, it was a setup. It was phony. And I bit. I don't care about that. I'll bite again. You lie to me, it's your problem. I've been lied to lots of times. It's okay with me. I can't help it. I'm not responsible for somebody else's lies. But I am responsible if I judge harshly. Well, here's Saul, who's become a Christian. Now, that made the news. This is the same one who's consenting to Stephen's death. This is the same one who's gotten papers in order to bind and persecute children of God who are not of the Jewish way. He's ready to go for the jugular veins. And he's on his way to Damascus to keep that work going. And then he's confronted by the Lord, and then he's converted. But now the brethren who've heard all the bad stories are not sure to whether to believe the good one or not. So Barnabas comes along, and he says, hey, boys, he's one of us. His genuine conversion is as genuine as it seems to be. The Lord appeared to him. He's preaching the gospel. He's been converted. You can trust him. Barnabas, what a guy. Third, Barnabas went with Saul on that first missionary journey. And now they're going to go back and see how the brethren are doing, and they're ready to make the trip, but Barnabas wants to take John Mark with them. Paul doesn't want to do that. Now, this is a fuss between preachers. I didn't know preachers fussed until I was grown and figured out that some do. Boy, some really do. But what do you do with that? You've got Paul, who's strong-willed, saying John Mark cannot go back with us, because when we came to Perga over in Pamphylia, he headed out. He didn't finish the job. It was either too hard for him, or he was a spoiled brat to start with, and he couldn't put up with the rigors of mission work, or he was homesick from Mama. Whatever it was, I don't want him on this. He's a detriment to the trip. We don't need him. Barnabas says, let's give him another chance. Now, this is his nephew. That might have something to do with it. But Paul said, no, we're not taking him. Barnabas says, okay, I'll go to Cyprus, and I'll take him, and you take Silas and go that way, and we'll go in two directions taking the same gospel. Have you ever had anybody stand up for you when nobody else would? Or have you made a mess, made a mistake, serious mistake, and then people wouldn't let it die? Most of us have a past. Well, that's a stupid statement. We all have a past. But there are some things in the past that are probably not what we wish they were. If you don't have anything in your history anywhere that you would regard as sinful, then I would ask you, of what did you repent? We all have a past. There are real issues in people's lives. Well, John Mark, for whatever reason, just immaturity, perhaps dereliction of duty, whatever it was, John Mark messed up. Barnabas said, let's be patient, let's be forgiving, let's reinstate, and let's move on. I like that in him because I've needed that, and I want to extend it to other people. Some of the guys that I went to college with who were going to be preachers. In fact, there were about, I tried to figure it out. I got my annual out a few years ago and tried to figure out who they are and where they are. There were about 25 of us who were Bible majors at Freed Hardeman at that time. And best I can tell, only two of us are still preaching. And I know about some of them. I don't know about all of them. But I know some of the issues that have come up. Some of it has been doctrinal. Most of it has been moral, immoral, and it's been distasteful things that have happened, and I don't know who's at fault, and probably before it's all over, several are at fault in the whole issue. But the point is, those people who were planning, and boy, we had, you ought to have heard our dorm talks, we had the world by the tail. We were going to convert what all these previous generations couldn't or wouldn't touch. We're going into gospel hasn't gone. There won't be a left on planet Earth by the time we've been at it about 8 or 10 years. Well, realistic thinking and very unreal thinking, but we were interested in doing that. And yet, one by one by one by one, we have dropped out. And that's unfortunate. What do you do with somebody who has failed miserably, who has embarrassed you or embarrassed the church? What do you do with somebody who has sinned morally or has been dishonest in some business transaction? What do you do with that? The easiest thing to do is to crawl over in a corner with some people and gossip about it. And then see what you can do by way of retaliation and retribution. This person hurt me and hurt the cause I believe in, so I'm going to see that he pays. And I'm going to hurt him all I can. I'm going to write letters to warn people about him because he messed up. All right, now the impenitent need to be dealt with, and sometimes dealt with strenuously. But the penitent people need to be dealt with compassion and patience and forgiveness and reconciliation. And I don't know where to draw the lines, and I'm not trying to draw the lines for you. I'm just saying Barnabas did not give up on John Mark. And interestingly, as you study John Mark and you keep going, when you start saying the books of the New Testament, you remember what that second one is? It's Mark. And from all indications, this is the guy. You keep reading to come to Colossians chapter 4, and Mark is faithful in the ministry of Paul's work. So Paul had a change of heart, and probably Barnabas is one of the key reasons that Paul decided maybe he's worth salvaging after all. But Barnabas believed in John Mark, and Barnabas affirmed him and helped him to mature. And you have to read into it some things because the text doesn't tell us all the details. But I think it's fascinating to see what Barnabas could do with John Mark. And then last, and I wouldn't want to leave this one out, although we don't have much time to talk about it, Galatians chapter 2, Paul is writing, and he tells about Peter, whom he withstood to the face over the issue of the Jew-Gentile controversy. Now, the wording is a little awkward in chapter 2 of the book of Galatians, especially in verse 12 through 14, 15, along there where it's being discussed. But the way I can best understand it is that as long as these people who had Jewish background were among Gentiles in a Gentile setting, they were okay with that. They could accept them as brethren, and it was okay. But when certain Jews came into the picture, maybe leaders, maybe those who were not as accepting and maybe had more prejudice, whatever it might have been, when they came into the picture, then it was easier to kind of side with them and to go back to old buddy-buddy system. And the Jewish supremacy or superiority would come through, and the Gentiles were second or third or fourth class citizens. Paul said, I withstood Peter to the face over this issue. And verse 13 says, and even Barnabas was caught up in the hypocrisy. Now, I am not glad that Barnabas got caught up in the hypocrisy, but I am glad we're told about it. I'm not glad David committed adultery with Bathsheba and had Uriah the Hittite killed. I'm not glad he did it, but I'm glad that God, through inspiration, told us about it. We have Jesus as our perfect example. We need that. But we also need stumbling, bumbling human beings so that we can identify as stumbling, bumbling human beings and not give up because we can't be perfect. I think Barnabas messed up. I'm not glad John the Baptist had some doubts right before he got his head cut off. He sent word, are you the coming one or should we look for another? And Jesus sent word back that said, tell John everything's right on schedule. Everything's okay. He didn't chide him. If you have a problem, you're in good company. We all do. Tonight we're going to look at Thomas. He had some problems. But the Lord can work in people who have problems. And he forgives and he empowers. And Barnabas could see that in others like John Mark. And Barnabas then needed that for himself. And he's still a faithful soldier in the army of the Lord. He just didn't do everything exactly right. Penitent people can be forgiven. And God's people are struggling. And I'm one of them. And you're another. Let's struggle together. Not to condone sin. Not ever to take it lightly. But to identify with people who also struggle. You do. I do. Let's do it together. Let's have a word of prayer as we go today. Father in heaven, thank you that you love us and that you teach us in your word that we're to love one another. Thank you for the example of Barnabas. Bless us to be generous people. Bless us to be people who are interested in the welfare of others, unselfish, kind, forgiving, affirming, and even in our struggles, we pray that you would bless us to be forgiving and to be forgiven. Help us in all that we do to seek to be more like Jesus every day, to be examples of Jesus in what we say and in how we live. Point other people in his direction to bring all the glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.